Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It is Tuesday, August the 11th. Now this summer's just chugging along. It's going to be over before you realize it. NASCAR in the Glen for the road course. Interesting enough, it was a weekend sweep. No, it wasn't Kyle Busch this time. It was Joey Logano. But we'll get to more of that in a little bit. ARCA was in action. Federated Auto Parts 200 at Berlin Raceway, Michigan. The NHRA was in Seattle. So pretty busy weekend for racing anyway. So we'll get into that in a little bit. Sad note. Buddy Baker passed away. I'm not mistaken. He was battling brain cancer that was inoperable, and it finally claimed him. It's a sad day in auto sports. Stalwart of the sport, one of the guys that have been around for a while. There are another NASCAR driver, like the generations of drivers that usually carry on after their fathers. You know, the Petties are one, Earnhardts are another. Buddy Baker was no different. L.Z. Wiley Baker Jr. That was his real name, in case you didn't know. He was 74 years old. He had battled with cancer, 6'6" tall. Now, the only other driver I know that's close to that would be Mikey Waltrip. Buddy was called the Dental Giant. But here's some of the things that he's accomplished over his career. In 70, he's the first driver to eclipse the 200-mile-per-hour mark on a closed course while testing at Talladega. Of course, those days are long gone with the addition of the restrictor plates, but still, the first one to crack 200, even though he didn't win at the track that year in an actual race, he did win four times in his career. Also, he was in the booth for a few years as well as a color commentator for the race. He had 19 wins in what is now the Sprint Cup Series, including the Southern 500 at Darlington in the 1970s. That's when they had two races down there instead of just the one, but was in the booth for Nashville Network and on CBS when they used to televise the races, and co-host on The Late Shift and Trading Paint if you have Sirius XM in your vehicle or in your home. I have it. But I usually listen to music. Speaking of music, the driver of the pace car in the Cup race is none other than Dave Mustaine of Megadeth in the flight. Shocker to me to see him there. Got to try to get him on. Maybe we can. I'll send an email out to the people at the Glen and see if they can connect me with his people. Have him talk about driving the car for the day and for the event and if he stayed for the whole race or he hopped on the jet and took off. So anyway, let's get into the action. Well, we'll start with the ARCA series. It was Grant Enfinger winning his fourth of the season, thus breaking the string of nine first-time winners. it was only a matter of time before that had to happen. But finally broke the drought, so to speak. Started from the pole. Probably one of the strongest cars in the series this year. Nation Mitchell took the second place prize. Frank Kimmel, good to see the old man back in the car. Took third, Brian Keselowski. Hopped back in the car himself, was fourth. Austin Wayne Self was fifth. I guess being in Michigan, being Keselowski's from there, he was hopping the car there. Austin Wayne Self was fifth. Josh Williams, sixth. Kyle Weatherman, seventh place. Blake Jones, eighth. Ninth is Hunter Bays. There's a new name I didn't recognize, driving the 52 car. It's Kenny Schrader's car. And 10th, A.J. Feike. And let's see. Our boy from Cherry Hill, Tommy Hessert. I know I have some listeners from my old neck of the woods. He came in 14th. Our girl, Sarah Cornett-Ching, came in 15th. She's pulling a lot of duty this weekend. In the ARCA race and the Bully Hill K&N race. So she was getting a lot of seat time, which is something she needs to do, but top 10 in points. Enfinger leads the pack. Austin Wayne Self, second. Third is Josh Williams. Fourth, Tommy Hesser. David Levine is fifth. He's pretty good. These guys pretty much been. And Sarah Cornett-Ching is sixth. Bo Lamast is seventh. Eighth, Tommy Prater. Ninth, James Swanson. And tenth, Carl Weatherman. Changes. These people have been in this position for a while. It's just a matter of where the gap goes. The next race for the ARCA series is the SuperChevyStores.com Allen Crow 100 at the Illinois State Fairground. That'll be the 23rd, so they're off. ARCA's off for a couple weeks. So we don't have to worry about them. In the NHRA, it's a different turnabout from last time as we continue the Northwestern swing, this time up at the Northwest Nationals in Seattle. And in the Top Fuel event, it was Sean Langdon finding the finals against J.R. Todd. Langdon driving for Ellen Johnson Racing. We've had him on before, and when he was with Alan Abbey, for some reason, the money from Qatar dried up. Interesting side story going on. I think it had to do with them getting out of town when the government of Qatar was getting these Guantanamo prisoners and turning them loose. So I think they wanted they didn't want to get any repercussions. But stuff like that doesn't happen here, where just because you're from a country and you're in a venue like drag racing or auto racing, the government ain't going to come after you. They might look at you if you're funneling money to terrorists. But anyway, that's not the case. Back to the event. Pass to the Wally for Langdon. Came up against Antron Brown in round one. And Richie Crampton in the second round, semifinals, up against Larry Dixon. So he had a pretty no easy competition. That way, J.R. Todd himself went to Clay Milliken, Harry McMillan, Tony Schumacher, which probably would have been his toughest run, even though McMillan in close in times as well. So it was no easy day for J.R. Todd, even though you think it should have been, and end up against Langdon. Reaction time was pretty much even off the tree, 0.72 for Sean, and J.R. had an 0.71. In the ET department, it was J.R. Todd with a 3.82 and versus Langdon's 3.90, giving Todd the Wally. And the points, lowest ET of the weekend was Richie Crampton with a low three sevens in 1,000 feet. Well, he was the number one qualifier and pulled up to the tree with a 3.74 against Ronnie Smith in round one. He did have light competition because Ronnie Smith broke off the line. So, thing when it happens, it's you're all set to go. Your first round of the night, of eliminations, and poop, you're done. In the funny car division, it was Tommy Johnson Jr. and Del Worsham in the finals. And on the way to the finals, it turned out to be Johnson had Paul Lee in the first round, beat him by about a second, maybe a little less, by a couple of hundredths. Then up against Chad Head, round two, with Johnson's 4-0 to Head 6-4. Jack Beckman in the semifinals, and then Del Worsham's trip to the finals had Johnny Hale in round one, Tim Wilkerson in round two, and John Force in the semifinals. Force after going through Jeff Deal and then Alexis DeJoria. DeJoria beat Courtney in round one, so to set up the stage for Force and Worsham. Dell is Alexis's teammate. Used to be her crew chief, but he got back in the car. So it was Johnson and Worsham, and had a good battle there with, believe it or not, Tommy Johnson taking the Wally over Del Worsham with a hole shot, because Johnson got off the tree in half the time, half the reaction time that Worsham had, an 0.40 to an 0.87 for Worsham, even though Worsham had the quicker ET by 3/100ths of a second for the 4.04 and to Tommy Johnson's 4.07. Johnson got to the finish line first and took home the Wally. And in the pro stock division, it's Chris McGahey versus Jeg Coughlin in the finals. And Coughlin had Aaron Strong in round one, Erica Enders in round two, I think. Yeah, he got her with the hole shot in round two. She had a 6.53. Coughlin was 6.53 with a 2. He was a hair slower, but his reaction time was 0.46 to Erica's 0.70, which is usually unlike her, because in round one she had an 0.34. But tried to get her on today, so I'm going to try again. We get her on for next week, see what happens. But Coughlin then went up against Alan Johnson, McGahey, and then it was McGahey taking the Wally with a 6.50 to Coughlin's 6.53. Even though Coughlin had the reaction time, McGahey's car was just that much quicker to overcome is 0.29, which is not a slousy reaction time either. But when you start getting in the 0.01s or less, you know, you start cracking that 0.02, then You're jamming it pretty good. In the points, three divisions. Still Tony Schumacher in first place over Antron Rams, 87 back. Harry Dixon's in third. He's 255 back. He is, I'll just give you the top three there because they're the closest. We're getting close to the countdown, but nobody's deemed clinched a spot yet in the top fuel ranks. So it's still open, even though I don't think, I think Antron Brown and Schumacher might be the two battling it out. Once the top 10 receive, it could be anybody's game, but for right now, in the funny car division, it's Matt Hagen in the top spot. Beckman closed the gap. He's now 5 points back. Tommy Johnson is 114 back. John Force not out of it at 153 back, 152 back, and then this week's winner, Del Worsham, is 173 back in fifth place. And then sixth is Ronnie Capps at 189 back. So it's tight there at the top. So any one of them can close the gap or change spots and force the seeding hand. In pro stock, it's Greg Anderson still at the top with Erica Enders second. She's hanging tough there, about the same she was last time. Chris McGahey third. He's 147 back again. No changes in position in the top 10. Just a point gap opening and closing. So we'll see how that turns out. So in the motorcycle ranks, motorcycles didn't run. It's Eddie Krawick with a 106-point lead over Hector Arana Jr. And third is Andrew Hines. Both ride the Harleys. They're teammates. They're usually at the top of the heap anyway. So then in 10th place is Angel Sampe. She's the winningest driver rider in the NHR way. She has more event wins. Winningest female driver in the NHR rider in the NHR race. She's always been on a motorcycle, but she's got more wins than every other woman in the sport combined. The reason why there was a 100th woman win is because Angel has a boatload of them. But she's riding a motorcycle, taking that away from her, but it's a lot different than a car. And even though the competition's stiff in the bike ranks, but just hard to say. I think in the car division, it's a lot tougher. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So next event for the Mellow Yellow Series will be out at Brainerd International Raceway for the Lucas Oil Nationals in Brainerd, Minnesota. And that'll be the weekend of August the 20th through the 23rd. So they'll be in action. They'll be off in this coming week. So we'll see what happens. And then September 2nd, which is Labor Day weekend, I believe. It'll be the Lucas Oil Raceway at the U.S. Nationals. Indianapolis, Indiana, and that's the end of the regular season. And then the countdown to the championship kicks off September 18th at the Z-Max Dragway in Charlotte. And then the final event of the year, which is the final six, go Charlotte. Gateway Motorsports Park in St. Louis, October 1st through 4th, Maple Grove Raceway in Pennsylvania, Texas Motorplex in Dallas on the 15th of October, October 29th, the Strip at Las Vegas, and then November 12th wraps up it. Auto Club Raceway in Pomona, California. Seasons are winding down. It's amazing to see that what started in February is actually coming close to a close. So even NASCAR schedule is getting close to the end of the regular season and playoff this weekend up at the Glen. This coming weekend will be out at Michigan and Bristol. Southern 500 on September 6th, which is Labor Day weekend. And then after that, September the 12th, the last race before the Chase in Richmond. So, and then we got four races till the Chase. Amazing. Hard to believe it's getting to that point. Looking at it. But anyway, if you want to give us a call, you can. I didn't have any guests scheduled today. The number is 646-649-1899. Don't forget to tune in to PerformanceMotorsportsNetwork.com. Check out Burning Rubber Radio. Andy DeLay having my guest last week. He does his podcast, so you can pick it up anytime. Schedule, at least here at Garage Talk Live. We're on live, and you can pick up the podcast anytime by going to blogtalkradio.com/GarageTalkLive. So you can listen at your convenience. And then that's the great thing about the internet. If you miss a show, you can always go to the archive log, and we've got a good bit of them in there. I think we'll have to go back and listen and then maybe edit and put the guests. This way you can tell who you're listening, which one you're listening to. But I was just looking at from 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago, or whatever it says there, and I think it gives you a date. But anyway, up to the Glen. First race there on Saturday was the Zippo 200. It's been that for years now. And it was a Penske day, sweeping the top two spots. Joey Logano. First road course win in NASCAR that I know of, and he knows it started from the pole. Also finished where he started his car. He started second outside the front row. Well, or inside the front row, you know, when they have the choice of where they want to start. Used to be you won the pole, you were inside, outside pole, outside, but NASCAR is giving it to the pole winner, whether he wants to start from inside or the outside, leaving the second place starter for the opposite position, and then everything goes in order after that with third inside, fourth outside, and so on and so forth. But I'm sure you all knew that. Don't need me to tell you. I'm just reiterating. Because it's Tuesday, and earlier to do the show on Tuesday. Not much. No, just an hour, but still. Have to drink my coffee and hit up my Celsius energy drink. Make sure I'm wide awake for everybody. I'll tell you what. It's pretty good stuff. Check it out at your local GNC. My personal favorite is the sparkling cola. Burn some calories. If you take it and you do a workout, like 100 extra calories. Can you believe that? And it's a healthy energy drink. There's no preservatives or... So go check it out. No, they're not paying me to say this. Not yet, anyway. Maybe if they're listening and want to come on board, then I'll be glad to do some biz with them. But anyway, if you want to give me a holler, the number is 646-649-1899 every Tuesday from noon to 1 or so. What's good about this? Logano, back to the racing coverage, the wrap-up. Logano again winning, leading 82 laps. The one who led the most laps was actually his teammate, Brad Keselowski, who led 4 times for 40 laps. Of course, 1 lap extra. Neither of those guys qualifying for points. First points paying position was third. Chris Buescher getting that. He led once for 2 laps, so he did get a bonus point. And course regular Boris said, driving the 54 car, which is Kyle Busch's usual machine, but he stepped out of it. He wound up not running the nationwide race. He does have a new young baby there, so I'm going to spend a little more time with that. So Boris said was filling in for him. Ty Dillon in the number came home in the 5th spot, driving the Yingling Light Lager Chevy. I was wondering what was going to take them to get on a car. They did after, a few years ago, going with Ty Dillon and the Childress crew. 6th was Brian Scott. 7th, Chase Elliott. 8th, Elliott Sadler. 9th, Paul Menard. And Brendan Gaughan rounds out the top 10. And Jeremy Clements, a guy you don't hear about, had a 10th place finish. So driving his family-owned team, there's a owner-driver right there. Of course, he is the Childress helping every time. The Childress needs to get somebody in on points, so you swap them out for Clements as far as Clements runs every race. But to see that the hour of the race took 2 hours 23 minutes 31 seconds. Average speed 84.059. margin of victory 1.066 seconds. Did not end there under caution. There was actually a gap. It's a good gap for a road course. In the points, as the ground closes, Chris Buescher still leads them with 2 wins on the board. Wins don't matter in the Xfinity Series to bonus points. Chase Elliott now in the 2nd spot. He's 24 back, so he can close that gap if he can. And there is no Chase in the Xfinity Series. They will run this till the end, so with race number 20, and there are 36 races, I didn't count out, but there's enough races left to where the Xfinity Series second place guy can get some ground. Tied with him actually is Ty Dillon. They have a 2-way tie for 2nd and 3rd. Neither of them have wins, so they can't use that as a tiebreaker. So we have a tie for 2nd, Reagan Smith in 4th, 5th Elliott Sadler, Darrell Wallace Jr. 6th, Daniel Suarez, 7th, 8th, Brendan Gaughan, 9th, Brian Scott, and 10th, Ryan Reed. And there's your top 10 in points in the Xfinity Series. Let's, matter of fact, cheer for our winner, Joey Logano.
Going to roll with our race winner. We've been now joined by Joey Logano, driver of the number 12 Snap-on Ford, and his race-winning crew chief, Todd Gordon. And Joey, We'll start with you. A pretty dominating performance by your team. It's your first win here at Watkins Glen. So just talk a little bit about, you know, today's race, the restart there at the end, and being able to come home with the trophy.
It's pretty special. As a driver, you always want to have a road course win on your resume, and you get to have one on the Cup side, but it's nice to have one on the Xfinity side now. And we've come close to winning this race a few times, but never been able to make it happen. And had a really good snap on Ford. Goes to show how Team Penske is and the depth they got within when they throw together a second Xfinity car like that and make two cars as equal as those two were out there today, and the two fastest cars. Something to be very proud of. Led by Kevin Buskirk and a lot of the guys that been on the road before, and they come back out and they're having fun, and it was a fun weekend for us. And they go out there and put it on the pole, lead a lot of laps, and win the race. Very special, for sure. You know, we've been close to winning a lot lately, and it feels really good. I know for Todd, it feels really good, too. We've been close here the last few weeks in both the Cup Series and in the Xfinity Series, so it feels nice to be able to spray some champagne and, have some fun in Victory Lane.
And Todd, for you, we don't always get to have you here with us in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, but today you were on deck to help call Joey's race. Just talk a little bit about the race from your viewpoint and how it may have helped you guys for tomorrow.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of reiterate some of Joey's sentiments there. You know, Kevin Buskirk and Andrew Overstreet, Corey Tucker, all the guys from the shop that put together a heck of a car and gave me the opportunity to have a little fun today. Come in and call a race and pretty straightforward race when you got that much speed. But good to get the pit crew out there. That's our Cup crew for tomorrow, and we had a couple of situations, and Joey did a good job recovering from it, but it's a good tune-up for tomorrow because pit stops are backwards here relative to any place else. It's a little change for the guys and a change for both Joey and myself and how we race these races. So it's a great tune-up for tomorrow and a testament to the Team Penske and what they can do out of the shop with shop guys and the depth they've got.
We'll go ahead and take questions for Joey.
And there's Joey Logano and Todd Gordon, the crew chief, for the day. It's all the whole Cup team ran the race, and they said they had fun out there. They asked them, of course, they're getting paid for it. Really, well, maybe a salary. But anyway, we'll take a little break and be right back after these words.
Cajun's Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Cajun's uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Cadence Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cadence Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cadencecandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/Cadence Candle.
And we're back here on Garage Talk Live. I'm your host, Vince Bonfigli. Give us a call, 646-649-1899. We are on blogtalkradio.com/Garage Talk Live. Check us out. Go to our Facebook page. Give us a like. Usually post up everything. We do have follow us on Twitter at Garage Talk Live. I don't know how that works. I didn't set that up. I usually don't tweet much. I got my own. If you want to follow me, I'm at GTL Vince, and that's my Twitter handle. I do most of my stuff on Facebook posts. I give you more than 140 characters, and I just tend to put up stuff that usually has nothing to do with racing, but every once in a while, certain things come up that I will post. Well, the weekend continues on, and then yesterday's event was the Cheez It 355. And you see the trophy at the end? It's one big, there's a big Cheez It on top of a pedestal. You know, maybe a couple feet high, but the actual head of the trophy was like 1 foot or 10 inch by square Cheez It looking thing. I mean, yeah, it's different. It's not the Miles the Monster or the grandfather clock you get at Martinsville. And now the Cup Series never ran at Nashville Super Speedway, but they had a custom painted, a Sam Bass painted Gibson Les Paul guitar that was the trophy. And one year Kyle Busch won it, and he decided to play Rockstar, or I think he was playing Rockstar, and smashed the guitar in victory lane with a look of horror on everybody's face. But because it wasn't, you know, it's one of those things that everyone's different. They're not painted the same. But the only thing that might be the same was the track logo. But, you know, anybody that's seen anything that Sam Bass does as far as NASCAR paintings knows that you can't duplicate. I mean, you can make something like it, but you can't duplicate a fine piece of art like that. I mean, if you, you know, it's one thing to, especially if you had a few of them, but I think Kyle Busch made amends, and I think he bought a load of them, paid the same best, and had a few of them made up. Why would you, you know, I think you're going to stand smashing a guitar, but not the race-winning trophy, and a work of art at that. But that was something to behold. That was one of the most sought-after trophies in NASCAR. I think the Truck Series ran there as well. So did the IndyCar Series. So they might have got one as well. It was the track trophy. It was a Gibson, custom-painted Gibson guitar. But, you know, we'll have to get the former assistant PR director of Nashville Super Speedway, Tammy Brewington, and get her to call in as well. Maybe I can book her for next week to talk about Nashville Super Speedway. It used to be a Dover Motorsports-owned track, but they never had a cup date. They'd have ARCA, Indy, Trucks, Nationwide. They'd have them there a couple times a year, except for maybe the IndyCar, but still, that was one of those venues that had a lot of promise. It was a mile and a third, concrete, which was kind of Dover Motorsports' trademark. After Bristol went concrete, I think Dover, I think they went there close to about the same time or not. But when they actually built Nashville Super Speedway, it was built as a concrete track. It wasn't a conversion like Bristol and Dover was. So I think Dover used to own a lot of those. They used to own that one, Gateway, and a couple others, and then they sold them all off. And it's a good thing they didn't get rid of one of their cup dates to get a cup date at Nashville or something, because the home track at the Monster Mile, and I spent a lot of years going to both races there, and like to get back to it, but we'll see one of these years. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, Joey Logano proved to be the man. That's why I said it was a sweep. It wasn't Kyle Busch this time. It was Joey Logano, and came down to the last turn on the track because, again, fuel mileage coming into play. Kevin Harvick was leading. Harvick led one time for 29 laps. That was a good chunk of laps to lead. He led the most laps of the race because Keselowski led once for 27 laps, and then Allmendinger, who was your pole sitter, led twice for 21 laps. So there were your three biggest lap leaders in the race. The race going 90 laps long, which is only 8 laps longer than the Xfinity race. There was a fuel strategy planned out that where they try to pit every 30. They figure anybody can go 31 or 32 laps can get a good fuel mileage. You know, you figure you're going to have cautions and all that, but there was a red flag incident as well in the race, so they had to shut the car off. Blew it on the track, caused it to be had to shut down to be cleaned up. On a road course where you're going left and right, you can get a little sideways, but it was a pretty clean race. There were only 5 cautions for 16 laps. 8 lead changes amongst 8 drivers. Of course, Allmendinger the first 20, and then one lap after. And then Truex led for a few laps, 3 or 4 of them, and then Allmendinger back again. And it was Cole Whitt, Brad Keselowski, Kyle Busch, Matt Kenseth, Kevin Harvick, and Joey Logano led only one time for one lap. He didn't even lead the whole lap. He led the last corner of the lap, but where it counts. Takes him across the finish line. The race took 2 hours, 24 minutes, and 43 seconds. Track length is 2.45 paved road course. Average speed 91.4. Margin of victory was 5.273 seconds. Second place went to Kyle Busch. Now, if you remember last week, Logano was leading. He ran out of gas. And then Truex, who was third, ran out of gas. And then Kyle Busch, who was second, ran out of gas. And then Matt Kenseth crossed the line to take the win. Well, this time, Busch and Logano were pitted on the last pit stop at lap 58. Had to go 32 laps. So they want to make sure they had enough gas. Of course, Harvick pitted a stop caution earlier. He was on the lap 51 caution. Well, when they threw the yellow flag after the red flag, caution on lap 58 was the 14 car Tony Stewart stalled on the track. And that's a shame because he had a good qualifying spot in the third position and was the last finisher. He has not been having any kind of luck this year. But anyway, Logano and Busch stayed on the track, got the next yellow, and came in and gassed up. Kyle Busch taking tires and fuel. Logano just taking fuel. Got out. Harvick stayed out because he had pitted 5 laps sooner. But it wound up costing him as they're coming around turn 6. Harvick sputtered. Logano went around him just before turn 7. Harvick did get the thing refired and get into the back of Logano, but it wasn't enough, and then coasting the rest of the way because I think he finished running out of gas. Kyle Busch was able to catch Harvick and nip him at the line, believe it or not. That's how long the distance was from the last turn to the finish line. But Logano had plenty of gas to melt the tires down in a burnout afterwards and drive it all the way around the track and before he got to victory lane. So it was a pretty quick thing for that. And, of course, last week's winner at Pocono, Matt Kenseth, I guess he was playing his cards right. He was in the fourth spot in case they all ran out of gas, but that wasn't meant to be this week. Kurt Busch, good fifth-place run for him. Clint Bowyer taking the sixth spot. Seventh was Brad Keselowski, Carl Edwards, and eighth, Sam Hornish Jr., good top ten run for him. And he came in ninth. And Jimmy Johnson rounds out the top ten. Dale Jr., 11th. I think pit strategies came into play, and they didn't pit at the right time. I mean, Danica Patrick fans, I know she's got some as well as the tractor. She was 17th. So she gained some ground from starting 22nd. But I'm just wondering what happened there. Of course, Jeff Gordon finished 41st. Casey Kane, 42nd. Tony Stewart, 43rd. Jay McMurray, 40th. There were some top 20 qualified bull that were looking to get that win and make the chase, but figure Gordon only has four to do it. He's probably going to make it on points, but 42nd place finishes don't help. Here's your top 16. It's Kevin Harvick in the top spot on points. I got to specify that. His race wins will reseed. We'll see all that in 4 weeks, right after Richmond's last race before the chase. Joey Logano, second in overall points. Dale Jr., third. Jimmy Johnson, fourth. Brad Keselowski, fifth. Sixth is Martin Truex Jr. Seventh is Matt Kenseth. Eighth, Kurt Busch. Ninth, Jamie McMurray. 10th, Denny Hamlin. 11th is Paul Menard. 12th is Jeff Gordon. Ryan Newman is 13th. Clint Bowyer, 14th. 15th, Carl Edwards. And the 16th place guy is Aric Almirola. Look for him to get bumped because out of all those names I mentioned, there's one name that's not in there, and the guy has four wins, and that is Kyle Busch. He took over the 30th spot in points. He's got to finish in the top 30 to make the chase with a win. He has four wins, so as he climbs that ladder, you figure the guys in front of him, he should be able to get ahead of 29th is Allgaier, 28th is Trevor Bayne, 27th is Stenhouse, 26th is Stewart. I think he might get as high as 26th in the points. I don't know if he can get Hornish at 25th. But once he's in that top 30, he gets bumped all the way up to the number 2 seed because he has four wins. Looking at the win list, Jimmy Johnson with four, Kyle Busch with four. That could change within the next couple weeks if anyone gets a win. Dale Jr. was third with two. Harvick has two. Kurt Busch has two. Kenseth has two. Logano now with two. Then you have your single digits, Keselowski, Hamlin, Edwards, and Truex. So there's your one. Top 10 in with will. There's 10 drivers with wins. Let me just double check that. 11 drivers with wins. Out of the 16, that'll make the chase. So when they do that reseeding prior to Chicagoland, you're going to have your chase guys at the top of the heap with the wins. And then the tiebreaker will be points for the two win guys, and then the same for the one win guys. except for the four-win guy. That'd actually be for the four-win guys, too, because Johnson has more points. He'll finish first, but he'll be tied with wins. I don't know how they're going to work the seeding on that one, whether it's just the wins or give the nod that Johnson is the number one guy with the more points through the Kyle Busch's lower point standings. And you got to take it in consideration. Kyle Busch missed like the first nine races. So that being said, go over to our race winner and listen to Joey Logano.
All right. We're going to continue the roll into our post-race press conferences here in today's Cheese at 355 at the Glen. We've now been joined by our race-winning crew chief, Todd Gordon, and Walt Zarnicki, the vice chairman of Team Penske. Todd, you were in here yesterday with Joey's NASCAR Xfinity Series win. In all honesty, did you expect to be here today?
I thought we had a shot at it, but I don't know that I expected it. We've continued to evolve this program and road course racing in general. I think we put a concerted effort in Sonoma this year and saw the rewards of it, and we dug pretty hard at trying to make sure we had long run speed and showed off today. And I think that we had enough speed to push the four into getting out of their fuel strategy.
And Walt, for you, this is the first win for Team Penske here at Watkins Glen. Just talk a little bit about, Joey being able to come away with the win here today over the four car.
Yeah, thank you. It means an awful lot to Team Penske. As you heard, this is Team Penske's first cup win at the Glen. I believe this is our winningest track in the whole history of our company, going back to the Trans Am, the Can-Am, the Nationwide, and the Xfinity, and the rest. Great run yesterday. So this is particularly meaningful for us to win here today in this race. And on a personal, from a personal perspective, I also want to send my personal condolences because I had a close relationship with Michael Hargitsinger. His father, Cameron, I met back in the Trans Am days, who built this racetrack and made it what it is. And Michael and I developed a friendship over the last 20 years, and as some of you know, Michael passed away here about a month ago. And so it means a great deal for me personally that we were able to win this race here at the Glen. So for Joey to do it, it's Team Penske. Joey's done a great job, but Todd and the whole Shell Pennzoil crew. I knew from the beginning, I just felt comfortable and confident all day long that we had a real opportunity to win here today.
And Todd, for you, Joey and the team.
Well, we were hoping for Joey, but we got Todd Gordon and co-car owner Walter Zarnicki. And here's Kyle Busch, the second-place finisher.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. We're going to roll into our post-race media availability for today's Cheese at 355 here at the Glen. We've now been joined by our second-place finisher, driver of the number 18 M&M's Crispy Toyota, Kyle Busch. And Kyle, a solid second-place finish for your team. You have now officially moved into the top 30 in the series standings. Just talk a little bit about your day here at Watkins Glen.
Our day was really good. We had a really fast race car. I felt like we had one of the cars, if not the car to beat. We just never really got to the front in order to show it, So even there early when we were up front, we came to pit road for our first stop before I could quite get to the lead. And then there again at the end of the race, we just got to the lead, just past Brad on that restart there, and was trying to check out and get as far out that we could and get as big of a lead as we could, so when people started to come back down pit road that it would allow us, to not lose as much time to those guys that were just going to take fuel only. But, man, those cautions all in a row just killed us. That was our race today. It just wasn't meant to be. Obviously, there were just too many things working against us, and it wasn't going to be able to, we weren't going to be able to get back through all of that and prevail. So we almost did. We probably had a shot to, but there at the end, once I got past David Reagan, I started to lose the rear tires a little bit, but still felt like I was fast enough to catch the 22 and still ran him down, got by the 20, and was within three car lengths of the 22, and that's about when I was probably told a few laps before that, actually, to start saving a little bit just in case guys started running out. But wasn't meant to be on what we needed today, and the M&M's Crispy Camry comes home second. So it's all right.
That's all right, as he climbs up the 30th in the points. Now, on to one of Roger Penske's former owned tracks, because he sold all his belongings, including this next track, to the France family and International Speedway Corp, as they head on out to the Brooklyn Hills of Michigan. And that's where we head this week. Look for a race with not too many cautions. We're only running 400 miles there, 138 laps. Actually, more than 138 laps. That was a rain shortened one last time out, where Kurt Busch took the win. So it's going to be interesting who to pick for the winner there, because should they get the whole race in, it could be anybody's game. Look for Chevys to run real well. Of course, there's only two Fords that you can really count on, and are the Penske Fords of Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski, both of run well there. They finished in the top 10 in the last race. There is normally a 200-lap race, but we'll see what happens there. So as far as race winner, if you want to make the pick, go over to our Facebook page. I will post my pick there after the show. So I think who I'm going to go with there is, I don't know, I think I'm going to go with Harvick this time. I think he's going to make up for it for running out of gas last week. So that's my pick for the week. And on that note, I'm Vince Bonfigli. We'll see you all next Tuesday at noon right here on blogtalkradio.com. You're listening to Garage Talk Live. Good day and good racing.